Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome inside China Basin, your San Francisco Giants three times a week podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring Giants players like all-star catcher Buster Posey.
It's about, you know, just going out and trying to have passion for the game that I've loved since I was a kid.
Giants third baseman Matt Duffy joins us each homestand.
I think when I'm going best is when I'm just staying short, trying to hit the ball right back up the middle and seeing it well.
And San Francisco Chronicle columnist John Shea is our regular guest too.
Bumgarner, he's a god, isn't he? He does all these things that no other humans do.
Inside China Basin is brought to you by Toscalito Tire and Automotive, with four Marin locations, plus the Marina in San Francisco and Vallejo. Toscalito, more than just a tire store. Joining us today from San Diego, where he covered the All-Star Game, John Shea from the San Francisco Chronicle in part one of our conversation. And John, thanks for joining us from the All-Star Game in San Diego as it was played on Tuesday. We're talking here on Wednesday. And before we even get to the game, I wanted to talk to you about the snub of Brandon Crawford, because it really, I mean, it doesn't look good for Major League Baseball when this kind of thing happens. I guess every year there are a few players that you look at and say, man, that guy should have been an All-Star. And definitely Brandon Crawford deserved it with the season that he's put up so far with 61 RBIs and the way he plays defense and the fact that he won the Silver Slugger and the Gold Glove last year. So, you know, what was the reaction, in baseball, or, you know, people in San Diego realizing that, you know, really one of the best shortstops in the game, Brandon Crawford, was not there?
Well, I spoke with a whole bunch of people, including at the All-Star game, and the one guy who thought it was okay that he wasn't an All-Star was the guy who managed the All-Star team, and that was Terry Collins. When I asked him about the snub, the first thing he said, well, there's a lot of guys deserving. And I said, well, why didn't you pick him? He said, well, I thought other guys were better. Now, immediately I thought he meant other shortstops were better. But then he went down his list and he mentioned Ryan Braun and others. So he meant other guys were better to fill out the roster. Now, in particular at shortstop, it's wonderful to have the fans' input and all, but MLB kind of prays every year that they get it right. And this time they picked the Cubs shortstop, Addison Russell, former A's hotshot prospect. And what that did, that was a domino effect, and that kind of was the reason Crawford was left off. Now, my thing about this is there's too many tiers of voting. I mean, the fans vote, the players vote, then the manager fills it out in the end. I think there should be a combined effort, all three entities, maybe one-third, 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 so that if one group gets it wrong, maybe the other two groups will pick it up for them. So in this case, the fans got it wrong. Addison Russell, one of four starting infielders off the Cubs, is the shortstop. So the players then determine who the second string guy is, and their favorite was Corey Seager. Okay, so then now it's in Collins' hands to round out the roster and to pick the top five runoff guys. And he picked Brandon Belt off the Giants, and Belt won it, and that's a different story. But so now Bumgarner kind of shunned by all three. And Collins revealed something to me that explained kind of where he went on this. He said not only was Seager first in the player voting, but Colorado's Trevor Story was second in the player voting, which isn't released. That's not publicized, who's second, who's third. It's just basically the next guy. So what that means, so he put Trevor Story on the top five runoff ballot, right? So that kind of explained, you know, where he went with this. And he added another shortstop, the kid Diaz from St. Louis. And that's because Carpenter bowed out with an injury, and that made an opening. But, you know, he told me, I said, listen, is that because one Cardinal went out, you replaced him with another card? He said, absolutely. I said, well, do you have to do that? Is that the rule? He said, no. So, in other words, a team can be represented by a guy who's not active, which would have been Carpenter. But he just kind of made a goodwill gesture to the city of St. Louis and picked the kid Diaz. So now you have three shortstops on the team, another Story who was on the final five ballot, and Crawford now, as far as this goes, is the fifth best shortstop in the National League.
which is a joke. I mean, when you look at the numbers and you just look at the way he plays defense, and, I mean, it's crazy. And then
he might be the best overall shortstop in the league. I mean,
right.
And he'll be up there as a candidate throughout baseball.
Well, yeah, he'd be an MVP candidate the way he's going this year. I mean, the RBIs and the defense and everything. And then it turns out that Diaz is at the plate in a key spot in the eighth inning with the bases loaded, and he strikes out. And I'm not saying that Crawford wouldn't have struck out there, but you look at it, and did Terry Collins put together the best team to win? Did he manage to win? Because he was trying to get everybody into the game maybe earlier than Ned Yost did, and he ends up losing the game. And it just goes to, you know, what is this whole game about? And for Terry Collins, it seems like it wasn't about that winning was the highest priority. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, if winning was the highest priority, I would have perhaps kept some of the key players in the game a little bit longer.
Right.
And maybe I don't pinch hit Brandon Belt against one of the toughest lefties in baseball, Andrew Miller.
Right.
And, you know, in that same inning, he's hitting righties against righties and lefties against lefties. And it's kind of a crucial inning. I mean, it's late. It's a 4-2 game. They're still in it. And, yeah, all that stuff is kind of questionable and when he uses guys. But it's kind of a thankless job. Every market is going to say, why not this guy? Why didn't you pick this guy? Well, why didn't you use this guy? I mean, across the base, Stephen Vogt didn't even play.
Yeah.
And he was ticketed to, Stephen Wright, the knuckleballer from Boston. He was ticketed to catch him when he got in the game, but he wasn't targeted to go into the game until extra innings. So the only way Vogt was going to play is if it went 10, 12, 14 innings, whatever. And he's the only representative off the A's. So, you know, Giant fans can be thankful that the four people were at the game. You know, Bumgarner couldn't play because of that funky rule. Nobody from Sunday could get in. Cueto got banged up and Belt got in, but Posey started. So, I mean, the team was well represented.
We'll have more with John Shea from the San Francisco Chronicle from San Diego in just a moment.
You have to admit collecting World Series titles is a new trend for the Giants, but at Toscalito Tire and Automotive, they've been winning since 1971 with quality tires and reliable auto and light truck repair at 6 Bay Area locations near you. Toscalito Tire and Automotive will take care of you like family. After all, this is a family business started by two nice Italian boys, Ken Toscanini and Vince Ippolito, who combine their skills, knowledge, passion for cars, and their names to create Toscalito Tire and Automotive. With 4 Marin locations, plus the marina in San Francisco and Vallejo, Toscalito, more than just a tire store.
What about the experience? I mean, Johnny Cueto gives up a couple home runs, and he was feeling ill before the game, and Brandon Belt was feeling ill that day and didn't even participate in the photo and also even the parade. And, you know, Buster Posey was in there, so at least he was healthy, feeling well anyway. But what did you think of the overall experience for the three Giants that were in the game?
What is it about Giants and getting sick on All-Star Tuesday?
Right, Lincecum.
I mean,
right.
We can go back to Lincecum, right, in 08 at Yankee Stadium. Flu-like symptoms, dehydration, emergency room. What is it? I mean, I actually asked Belt. I said, did you party all night? Did you go to bed at 4 o'clock? And he said no. He said he watched the Home Run Derby, and he went right to sleep before midnight. And he said that's pretty rare for him. So he was fine going to bed. He woke up feeling sick. Virus, he called it.
Yeah.
And when he got out of bed, he told himself there's no way he's going to play in the game. Then he had some medicine. He kicked back. He missed the parade. He missed part of PP. He missed the pictures being taken in the outfield pregame. And then he got onto the field and felt a lot better. You know, he dragged himself out of bed, dragged himself over the ballpark, and felt better. So by the end of the game, even though he said he hadn't had nothing to eat all day, right? Nothing to eat all day. He played the game, and he was pumped. He was just on adrenaline. This was his first All-Star appearance, and he wasn't going to miss it by any means. And then Cueto, he wakes up feeling sick too, and he misses the parade, right? And so the Giants have two guys in the parade, Bumgarner and Posey, and two guys who missed it because they were ill.
Yeah, I mean, there have been good All-Star games for San Francisco players. I remember Sandoval, you know, in the first inning with that triple, and what, Matt Cain pitched well. But there's also a kind of a history of not doing well, especially for pitchers. I mean, Cueto giving up those home runs, it brings back some memories. You wrote about this. Rick Rushel back in 89 gave up the Bo Jackson home run, and then a Wade Boggs homer, and Atlee Hammaker. Of course, everybody always sees that highlight of him giving up the grand slam to Fred Lynn.
Yeah, so the two great traditions that are being carried on, Giants getting sick on All-Star Tuesday and Giants pitchers getting lit up in the All-Star game.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, Marichal had some great outings back in the 60s, but here it is, 82, and Atlee gives it up to Fred Lynn, and that kind of began a domino effect of pitchers who got banged up. I mean, Jeff Brantley lost a game. John Burkett lost a game. Burkett actually came out afterward and said he was trying to let the other guys hit it so he could stay in longer. That's what he said post-game. And Rob Nen was the guy who gave up the seventh run that tied the game in Milwaukee, that pushed it into extra innings, that created chaos when there were no pitchers available, that led to the tie, that led to Bud Selig saying with Fox, this thing's got to count. Let's make home field advantage based on the winner of the All-Star game and all that stuff. That started when Rob Nen gave up the tying run. And so there was, you know, and then Lincecum gets sick. And there was one other instance. Jason Schmidt pitched two or three scoreless innings, which was fine. You say, okay, now the curse is over, right? Well, then he came down with an elbow ailment. And it seems like they're haunted. And yeah, everyone remembers Atlee, but Rushel, boy, that was in Anaheim when Tony La Russa led off Bo Jackson, and Jackson hit it about 900 feet. And then Wade Boggs followed with another home run. So suddenly it's 2-0, two batters into the All-Star game, and Rushel is on the mound. So there's a little history that Cueto probably knew little about, but he followed up with.
More with John Shea in just a moment.
Hey, how'd you get those cool new shirts for the trade show so fast?
Access!
Who makes all that great clothing for high schools and colleges?
Access!
How do I get my company logo embroidered on some nice polo shirts?
Access!
Access Uniforms is your go-to resource for customized clothing. Just call us to find the right product, email your artwork, and your order will be on its way directly from our factory right here in Burlingame. Call Access Uniforms at 877-755-LOGO. That's 877-755-L-O-G-O.
Well, outside of the Giants, I mean, there were some really nice moments in this game. I mean, you had Chris Bryant hitting that home run in the first inning. He went to the University of San Diego. That was a pretty cool story right there. But I think, to me, the biggest story of the night, or the best feel-good moment during the game was David Ortiz when he came out of the game and all of his teammates came out and gave him a hug. And maybe that might be what this All-Star game is remembered for, John, or maybe even just the fact that you've got the batting champ announcement and now we're going to always know that it's the Tony Gwynn Award in the National League and Rod Carew Award in the American League. So maybe both of those, is that what this All-Star game is remembered about?
Yeah, I mean, the game itself, 4-2, ho-hum, AL wins again. They get home field again in the World Series. That seems to be an annual story ever since they started going to that format. With the AL has won, you know, more than 75% of these games. So then you look for better storylines than that. And obviously the main one, or the main two, was Tony Gwynn. This is his city. This was his yard. It's on Tony Gwynn Drive or Boulevard or whatever it is. He played college baseball and basketball at San Diego State. He was coaching San Diego State in baseball when he died a couple of years ago. You know, one of the most loved baseball people in the industry's history. And unfortunately, he passes in his 50s, cancer. He blamed it on chewing tobacco. Chris Sale said at the press conference that he owed a lot to Tony Gwynn, because Sale, who started for the American League on the mound, said he was a dipper for years and years and years, and then the day Tony died, he quit and hasn't touched it since. And he said he'd like to sway others in that direction. So if anything, maybe Tony's an influence in that regard. But it was real nice to see his family on the field pregame with Wright Drew's family, and the batting crowns now will be named after those two gentlemen. It was all about Tony. I mean, they had to get someone from the American League, so Carew was an obvious guy. But in terms of Glenn, now every player for the rest of time who wins the National League Batting Championship will get the Tony Gwynn Trophy. And then in the game, David Ortiz, I don't know why he's retiring. I mean, Mariano Rivera probably had a few more years, and so does this guy. He's putting up a career year, and it's his last year.
Yeah.
And Cueto really wanted to get him out. Had a real long at-bat, and to end the first inning, Ortiz just drills a ball that was stopped. And, you know, could have been extra bases, could have been an RBI. But anyway, he came off, and Cueto came off, and they kind of chatted with each other. It was a nice scene. And then the next inning, when Jose Fernandez of the Marlins walks him, and by the way, Fernandez said a day earlier that he was going to groove pitches to him. Like remember back in the day, Wainwright did the Jeter.
Right. Or maybe Cal Ripken. Cal Ripken with Chan Ho Park.
Chan Ho Park, yeah. And Park denied it, but oh my God, it was right there. And it was his day. That was his All-Star game. He was the MVP and ejected out of there. So so it counts. Come on, bud. Come on, Rob Manfred. I mean, if guys are letting guys hit it. But anyway, all that talk about Fernandez, now he's throwing breaking balls, so he's not grooving fastballs. And then he walks Ortiz. So now Ortiz is on. And then Ned Yost, the manager of the American League, in a nice move. Well, maybe it wasn't a nice move. If these guys are all about winning the All-Star games, you don't pull one of your best hitters, a DH, for that matter, out in the third inning. But that's what he did. He created a moment to honor Ortiz. Ortiz came off. Fans stepped it up and cheered and gave him a nice ovation. And the players, hugged him coming off the field. They met him on the dirt in front of the dugout. So it was a nice scene, and it gave Ortiz an opportunity to stand back and wave to the crowd. And so, yeah, those were the two big moments, pregame on the Gwynn front and in-game on the Ortiz front.
Well, let's finish up part one of this conversation by talking about what's working and what isn't working with this game, because, you've mentioned it a couple times already here in the last 10 minutes about this game counting and whether or not that works. And you actually quoted Buster Posey and Brandon Belt. They're not thinking that it's such a great idea that this game counts for home field advantage for the World Series. I mean, Posey did say something to you about how, what about the regular season and all the work you put in to try to get the best record, which the Giants have right now, and then that doesn't count for anything. The only thing that counts is who wins this All-Star game as far as getting home field advantage, and we know how important it is. Six of the last seven World Series champs had the home field advantage. So I don't know that they get out of this, though, John, because, I mean, as much as a lot of us would like to see them just go back to it being an exhibition, it's sold so much this way. I don't know that they can really get out of the hole, sort of, that they've put themselves in. What do you think?
I asked Buster Posey, I said, if there's one thing you can change, I never mentioned home field advantage. If there's one thing you can change about this All-Star game, its process, its voting, whatever you want, what would it be? I was thinking maybe he would say something, let the players vote, or don't let the players vote, or don't let them, whatever. No, he said, listen, we play our tail off for 162 games, and you're given home field advantage for the World Series to the league that won an exhibition game back in July, right, when most guys are playing no more than three innings.
Yeah.
And he makes a great point. And Belt pretty much echoed that feeling. And Belt said, listen, you got to give it to the best record, the team with the best record. I mean, they do that in the NBA, don't they? That seems to be okay. Mm-hmm. But in baseball, they base it on this little exhibition that could have gone either way based on what teams that aren't even in the playoff hunt, players from those teams do in this game. And it's kind of one of many funky things that this game can improve on, but under the Bud C. League administration, and Fox was knocking on his door saying, listen, this All-Star game, people are leaving in the third inning and getting on jets and going home. Let's make this a little bit more serious. And so there's a lot of talk about that. But once the game starts, who knows if anybody thinks that, boy, I got to get this hit or I got to make this pitch. you know, just so the Blue Jays or the Indians or the Yankees or the Orioles can have game one at their place once it's World Series time. Nobody thinks about that. It's ridiculous. One thing I would like to see is the game to be played Wednesdays instead of Tuesdays. Last year, Sonny Gray of the A's pitched Sunday, so he was ineligible Tuesday. He was one of the best pitchers of the first half last year, one of the best pitchers of the year, finished high in the Cy Young voting. Well, he was ineligible. He was healthy. He was able. But he was ineligible because he pitched Sunday, and that's the rule. Same thing with Madison Bumgarner this year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he almost threw a no-hitter Sunday. Fans would like to see him? Sure. Are you kidding me? But 2 days later, he's sitting on the bench. I mean, the NL, he would have started the game, and maybe NL wins the game. Maybe he doesn't give up home runs to a couple of Royals like Cueto did. Maybe the NL wins the game, and maybe the Giants, if they get to the World Series, would host game one. But because of this rule, you know, and the fact that the All-Star game is on Tuesday, 2 days after the guys who throw Sunday pitch, he's ineligible. So make the game Wednesday. And I asked Bumgarner about that, and he said, yeah, well, that's fine. Then you get less rest after the break. But the fact is, he could have appeared in the game. He said his between starts throw day is Tuesday. You know, in other words, it was yesterday. It was Tuesday, not Wednesday, not today. So what I'm saying is he would have, you know, it would have lined up for him to throw between starts anyway. So maybe if he throws an inning after, you know, 2 days after his start, you know, that's fine. Maybe a fresh Cueto goes inning two, and he doesn't amp up to 32 pitches and give up five hits and three runs. So anyway, that's an idea. And Rob Manfred was asked, what about Wednesday? And he kind of shot it down as not anything on the front burner. So we're going to see this, you know, if all the great pitchers are held to pitch on Sunday, you know, by managers who want their guys to pitch Sunday, that therefore they could be ineligible for the All-Star game and come back and throw the first game of the second half on Friday, which Bumgarner is going to do on 4 days rest.
Well, think about this, John. I mean, obviously, Bruce Bochy and the Giants feel that those games against Arizona and San Diego are way more important than an All-Star game. Where, I mean, if you're going to say home field is that important, let's say you're the Giants, you think you're going to go to the World Series, wouldn't you want Bumgarner to pitch in that game? You'd do everything you could. You wouldn't worry about that Arizona game on Sunday. Maybe you would have changed the rotation around if it was really that important. It's weird because it is important, but yet nobody in the game is treating it like it is that important.
Yeah, and another factor, I was talking to Brandon Belt about this, he absolutely wants Bumgarner and Cueto to go back-to-back in the second half like they did in the first half,
mm-hmm.
because he said it's like an unbeatable combo. It was just, you know, great for the offense, great for the defense, great for the rest of the players, knowing that those two guys are going back-to-back. Well, now, you know, Bochy said before the break that if the workload for Cueto is significant, then maybe he pushes them back a day. Cueto throws 32 pitches. Bumgarner is going Friday. If Cueto went Saturday, that's only 3 days rest. So it's very likely that Bochy now will separate those two guys and move Cueto to Sunday and put in whoever, Samardzija, between them. So, you know, that's going to be interesting to watch, and it's all based on what goes on at the All-Star game. Yeah, I mean, on one hand, Bochy said we got to win Sunday, so we're throwing Bumgarner and the heck with the All-Star game. But he also says I'm fine with Cueto going two innings at the All-Star game, but that might come back to bite him because now he might have to wait an extra day to pitch Cueto in the second half.
One last thing about the All-Star game, John. Brandon Belt, he got in because of the popular vote there. The last player voted in, and of course, San Francisco played a major role in that. And the front office, I mean, you know, they really pushed this. They always do a great job of that as far as All-Stars getting voted in. And Brandon Belt was very appreciative of that. Tell us that story about the pizza.
Well, yeah, the Giants are always pretty good on social media, ballpark signage, getting the word out to both of their guys. And when they found out that Belt was one of the five guys on the final vote ballot, they went all out. And Belt mentioned right away that I have faith in my fans. You know, they're savvy on the internet. They know how to open a computer and vote for guys. So he was kind of encouraging in his own way to get the fans out to vote, and certainly they did. Belt won over four other guys in the National League, and All-Star Tuesday at noon, the whole front office gets treated to 34 boxes of pizza from a pretty good pizzeria in San Francisco, and it was kind of a surprise thing. And Belt and his wife Haley came up with the idea, and it was basically a thank you for the front office's effort to get Belt to the game, because Belt said, you know, from now until the day I die, I'm going to be known as an All-Star. And he said, that's because of them. Well, it was also because of Belt. He's a pretty darn good player. But he said, I just wanted to do a little something for them. And he said, maybe I'm going to do a little something more for them as well. So, it was a really unique and considerate act by a guy. And oftentimes you don't see that. Some players think they're entitled. Some players think, well, that's what they're supposed to do. But in this case, he was genuinely touched by the employees in the front office who kind of put together a campaign that helped Belt get to the All-Star game. And he was thrilled. It was his first time there. All the other guys had been there before on the Giants, but the fact that he was ill and got over it and orchestrated this big gift for the front office, that kind of spoke volumes about him.
That's John Shea from the San Francisco Chronicle in part one of our conversation. Join us again on Friday for part two. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to Inside China Basin on thesportsvirus.com.